Milo did nothing wrong.
Actually, when he, maybe I should go back. You got to remember the five W's with you people. Some of you don't check your phones 100 hours a day. But, so recently, shit, I got food dye on my sock. I can't get that on my white pants. Recently, there's a thing going on where these funny, cool, crazy kooks in England joined UKIP, which most liberals see as the National Front. And they see it as the UK Nazi Party. But you got to understand, whenever you hear about anything right-wing in England, you're hearing about basically moderate conservatism. In fact, I think UKIP are pussies because they won't identify the Islam problem. So I would never join UKIP. They're too soft. They're too left-wing as far as I'm concerned. But in England, joining UKIP is just insane. But UKIP is pro-free speech, and they're the only people left who care about free speech. So Paul Joseph Watson, Count Dankula, Sargon of Akkad, and Milo all joined. Now, Paul Joseph Watson does Prison Planet. His videos are fantastic. He red-pilled a generation. I'm not sure how you could look at his videos and go, that's actually bullshit. Okay, I'm sure he'd love to argue each point. So they don't do that because the left isn't really about debate anymore. Count Dankula, of course, is the guy who taught his pug to Zeke Heil and was prosecuted for that, which he's taken to the Supreme Court of Scotland, whatever the hell that is. The Supreme Court of Scotland, mate, we. And then you have Sargon of Akkad is just a liberal. He is basically what we all were when we were 24. Like a classical liberal, like Dave Rubin or Jordan Peterson, or even you could argue Ben Shapiro is kind of a classical liberal in many ways outside of Israel. And then Milo. So they all did interviews with the press, or at least some of them did. They all did interviews with the press, or at least some of them did. That's a really newsworthy sentence, Gav. That's really informing people. I have no idea who spoke to the press. Will Summer is this guy. He writes for The Hill. I think I mentioned him last podcast. He's part of this sort of beta brigade where these weak men, they write about people who are doing stuff and they pretend that they care. And then they write these really sort of malicious hit pieces that sound like Gargamel from the Smurfs writing from his cave about Smurfs. Just so vindictive. Actually, these guys are sub Gargamel. They're Azrael, the cat. It's the cat just writing about Smurfs, who are, you know, Papa Smurf and Smurfette, just like trying to get through the day, trying to make Smurfland reasonable. And these people just like want to get in there and go fucking Smurfs. So, and I think, by the way, Will Summer, if you're listening, Will, I believe that you're a member of Antifa. I think you run the Northwest Antifa web pages. Hackers have told me that you're up to some very nefarious alt-left shit. I think you're a piece of shit. Just like Jared Holt and a lot of these, like, you'll read these articles about how awesome Antifa is and how evil, how alt-right someone else is. And then you look up the author and you realize that guy's in Antifa. Like the far left, the radical left has infiltrated the mainstream. Anyway, they wrote this article about those boys joining UKIP, which is a fun, crazy, stupid, kooky thing to do. It's like lighting off firecrackers in a van. It's potentially dangerous and ultimately hilarious. And Paul Joseph Watson, I think, described it as a fun way to promote free speech. And of course, Will is all about how dangerous, I don't know why I did a British accent, how dangerous it is, how horrible it is. Anyway, so they keep talking to Milo and they go, will you be part of this? And his new thing with the press is, I give up. So I'm never going to get a fair shake, so fuck off. And he's a creative gentleman. So instead of just saying fuck off in his private DMs, he said, I can't wait for the right-wing death squads to start taking out journalists. Something like that, right? Which wasn't a public statement. It was a fuck you. And by the way, to be totally honest, when I thought it was a public statement, I thought it was funny and I kind of liked it. I like all this talk about Pinochet. Like, we got to round up all these commies and put them in helicopters and throw them at the windows. It amuses me. Throw them out of the helicopter, sorry. By the way, as far as dictators go, getting rid of people, helicopter's pretty smart. There's no bodies. There's no mass graves. The sharks take care of it. If you're going to murder a large group of people, a helicopter's a pretty intelligent way to handle it. Anyway, so then there was that dude at the Capitol. Where is that? Annapolis? And he shot a bunch of people and he killed five innocent people. By the way, if you're a reporter, which you're probably not if you're listening to my show, but if you're a reporter, let's stop talking about the guy who did the killings. That is why they do it. Even the guy who shot John Lennon, he admitted, he goes, yeah, I did it because I wanted to be famous. I didn't really think beyond that. We should focus on the actual people who were killed. And they are, so screw the guy who killed them. They are Wendy Winters, a prolific writer who chronicled her community. They were Rebecca Smith, a recent hire. She loved spending time with her family. There was Rob Hyacin, a joyful stylist, a generous mentor, older looking dude. He probably was an editor who helped some of the young writers hone their craft. And he probably gave a fuck about an Oxford comma. Gerald Fishman, clever and quirky voice of a community newspaper. And then John McNamara, sports reporting was his dream. They were all murdered by a fucking lunatic. But what's interesting about these murders were that they all blamed Milo and Trump. So they blamed Milo because of his death squads joke, which was a way to privately tell journalists that he doesn't want to give them a quote, which, by the way, goes against the sort of journalistic ethos. He said it off the record. By the way, here's a little tip. When you're talking to journalists and you say off the record, that's solely a courtesy. There's no thing that says they can't print what you said. So if you say this is off the record, what you're saying is please promise me. No, not even that. You're saying please don't say this, that I said this. But they can say that. Don't think off the record means anything. You can't sue a journalist for printing something when you said off the record. It's all a courtesy. But anyway, these so-called journalists took his private message and made it into a major quote and then blamed the death on him, even though this guy had been planning to shoot those people or fuck with that paper for years. He's a lunatic. So I think a big takeaway from all this, besides the fact that they can't wait to blame every problem, the left can't wait to blame everything that goes wrong on the right and with specific names like Milo and Trump, but also watch out for guys that are suing you and won't shut up. We've all come across them. The guys who are really obsessed with some minutia, like where you put the sign on your lawn or how often you wash your driveway or something, or that guy at work who won't shut up about his boss and how he shouldn't have been sent to this department. There's certain warning signs. I think we're sort of taught to ignore our instincts. We all know the fucking freaks, right? We're all aware of the loonies, but we're taught to sort of be really cool with everyone and always understand that, you know, you can walk around Harlem nude at 4 a.m. It's cool. It's, you know, don't judge people. No, judge people. Be aware of your instincts. Don't go to bad areas. And if some guy won't shut up and keeps suing your newspaper, get some security and know he's about to shoot the place up. And if you work at Charlie Hebdo, be wary of Muslims. Understand that things can get dangerous. And I know, I'm aware of this environment. I've been in it for a long time. I made out with Milo. We went to Orlando. Thing about Milo is, and I consider him a friend, but God, he's such a fucking rock star that it's, I'm not into that. Like I was friends with Justin Theroux for a while, Jennifer Aniston's ex-husband now, and I would go there to their place in LA where, you know, I have to go through the security fence and they have to verify that I've been invited and blah, blah, blah. And then I park my shitty rental car, go inside. Not that big of a house, by the way. And then we're there and it's fun and it's cool. And there's like butlers and chefs and stuff. But then I'm like, let's go get a beer. And he's got all these awesome motorbikes. Let's get on your motorcycles and go get a beer. No, I can't ride those. Why not? Well, you know what the paparazzi did to him on his motorcycle? They tried to drive him off the road. So this is what, I didn't learn this until I started hanging out with him. There's a whole hierarchy of paparazzi. And there's the top brass, TMZ, People, Face, and they, you know, they make sure everything's legal and they get releases for everyone. Then there's like these ghetto dudes at the very bottom, and they sometimes are paid by people higher up. And these guys will get $100, $200 a photo, garbage money. And then the more intense the photo, the more money they get. And they are total fucking criminals. And the top brass of the paparazzi doesn't like the lower cast of the paparazzi because they give the top brass a bad name. So Justin is going to, I don't know, Chateau Marmont, as these celebs are wont to do. And these cars come up to him as he's riding on his motorcycle on the fucking highway. And they start opening their doors and banging into him. Which, if you've ever ridden a motorcycle, I'm kind of a pussy on mine because it has no fairing. So I'm just like being whipped around by the wind. If I run over a pubic hair, I poop my pants because our trajectory has changed by 0.000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000 ramming into you, I mean, I would just have explosive diarrhea immediately and start crying. By the way, if you see me on the roads and you listen to this podcast, please don't do that just to see explosive diarrhea. It's not worth it. We'll all die. Because I'll find you in my wheelchair and I'll shoot you with a shotgun 17 years later. Anyway, so he's hitting them with this door and he's like swerving. And everyone realized later that what they were trying to do is to get him like knocked off the side of the road and then yelling. Because that's a great picture. And it is a good picture. Man, famous person, Jennifer Aniston's boyfriend at the time, they weren't married, loses his temper with his motorbike on his side and like broken, you know, plastic everywhere and the rearview mirror is shattered off. That's the fucking life these people lead. Like conservatives complain, like Maxine Waters says, go to their house, say, no peace, no sleep. And I know it's a highly unpopular opinion, but celebrities go through this kind of life. And I tried to write this up. I think I wrote it for Tacky Mag eventually, but no one else wanted the story because they were so unsympathetic. But Justin had a good point. He would say, look, I like writing scripts. I like acting, which I think is gay, but whatever. I like a lot of gay shit. I like fashion. Why am I punished for this vocation? And why do I have to quit? Because like, sometimes I'd say, well, just don't bother. Just keep writing. Writing's more fun anyway. And he goes, no, writing, they fuck with your script and they change everything. At least with acting, you go in there, do a day's work, you get the money, it's easy. And you're totally in control of how you act. I mean, I'm sure the director can say things, but you are in control of your craft. I got that point, but then I go, but then you're famous and that sucks. And it's a prison in a way. Like I went to this is a name droppy episode, but I went to see a Yankees game with Will Ferrell and, sitting down, having a nice time, obviously insane seats. We're basically in the umpire's foreskin. And, the owner of the PR woman from Yankee Stadium comes over and says, hey, we're promoting, it was during when he was doing that Land of the Lost movie. And she goes, we're promoting Land of the Lost. If you could just like on camera say, hey, I love the Yankees and welcome to Yankee Stadium. And he goes, yeah, I don't feel like doing that. I just want to enjoy the game. Thanks. And she goes, well, we are promoting your movie. So it would kind of mean a lot if you could just say, you know, welcome to Yankee Stadium. And he goes, nah, I don't really feel like. And they had a back and forth, you know, like five. Hey, meh, meh, meh. No, I don't want to do it. Oh, well, I think you should. No, I don't want to do it. I mean, that's not obviously like having someone scream no peace, no sleep. But this guy deals with that every waking moment. And this is before selfies were big. I'm talking about like 10 years ago now. But Jesus Lord. Actually, he saw Sophie Can Walk. That's how I ended up there. And she was probably two when I did that. So that would have been 9 years ago. Anyway, these people are constantly harassed. So anyway, to get back to Justin, so they're ramming their door into him and he's on his bike. And of course he's rich. So his fucking rich people's motorbikes are bad news, man. Like these fucking 1500 cc BMWs, you just, you're sitting on it and you go, this is a smooth ride. Why are cars whipping past me, behind me? And then you look at the speedometer and it says, because you're going 140, dude. Slow the fuck down. I like shitty bikes where to go 60, you feel like pieces are going to start flying off. That's my cup of tea. I like it nice and slow. 60, 70, that's real fast. 80, 90 on a motorcycle, I can, if I keep thinking about it right now, I'll start farting. Oh, God. Like when I'm on my in my car and those guys go, yum. It's like they, these Puerto Ricans, will, these gangs will weave in and out if you're near Harlem on the West Side Highway, and they'll go whipping through. Oh, my God. I'm like, when you hit one brick and you're just, you're going to be sand. Your jaw will be gone and you'll look like some horrible World War II picture where you have to double click permission. Are you sure you want to look at this? Yes. This may contain offensive content. Yes. Yes. You become offensive content. You're one brick away from offensive content. So anyway, they don't, I think he pulls over, but he doesn't like wipe out. And he knows his thing is just keep smiling. Hello. Hi. Because if you get mad, that's their, so they'll say things like, why aren't you having babies with Jen? Is her womb barren? And then put up the cameras just as he's about to go, fuck you. So they'll say horrible things about your wife and your girlfriend and your family and your mother. And why did your brother die? Is it because he's gay? Is that why he got AIDS? Is that why, was it heroin or AIDS that killed your brother yesterday? And you have to go, all right, okay, excuse me, all righty. Because you don't want to give them the victory. You know, it's like having a Scottish dad. He wants to make you mad. He wants you to snap, and you have to keep going, you're not making me mad, old man. So he pulls over, and here's a crazy part of this story. Apparently, the top brass paps, the TMZs, found out about this and were fucking pissed. This is like the mafia, basically. It's funny, by the way, LA was founded by David Fox of 20th Century Fox, and his thing was, New York has too many rules. It's impossible to shoot there. I know all the movies are made in New York, but it's getting too top-heavy. It's getting, I want the Wild West. I want to just make a movie, for fuck's sakes, with having to deal with all these people. So he went down to L.A., I don't know when, the 30s, 40s, 50s, I have no idea. And he started making movies down there. And they just, it was an open lot. And, of course, the weather's perfect for shooting. It never rains. It's always sunny. Perfect. And they created the music, the movie industry. But, of course, over time, it ends up being just as bad. And now for every dollar, you talk to a celebrity, for every dollar they make, fucking 40 cents before tax goes to the agent and the business manager and CAA and all these people. And now it's just the mob. The paparazzi are the mob. So the top Corleones, the top bosses over at TMZ were pissed off about what happened with Justin. So they said, take care of it. Make sure those guys go. So those guys got arrested. They got caught and arrested because the main paps got mad at the other paps. Which brings me back, sorry, to my point a million years ago, which is I want to just go get a beer. There's a few, there's not a lot, but there's a few good bars in LA. There's some bar called, it's near Jimmy Kimmel Live. It starts with the letter B. It's like Ballantine's or something. It's a great bar, tons of booths. I went there with Derek, what's his name, from Drunk History. It's a fun bar to go and have a few pints at. We would have Proud Boys meetings there. There's a big backyard and stuff. I don't enjoy being at someone's house, but when you're a celebrity, you can't leave the house. So you're like Pablo Escobar. You're on a beautiful compound with an incredible view. But remember in National Lampoon's Vacation when Chevy Chase sees the Grand Canyon and he sort of looks out over and goes, yeah, okay, let's get back in the car. That's how I feel about a nice view. It's awesome. But I'm over it pretty quick. Like, it doesn't change. bars, I'm into conversation. I like chatting with people. I like going to dive bars. That's my favorite thing outside of being with my family. So being a celebrity blows. Anyway, to get back to Milo, after the Orlando thing, the Pulse thing, we said, what would be the most offensive thing we could do that would piss off Islam the most? Let's be homosexuals at the site of the Pulse shooting. So we went down to Oakland. Oh, yeah, that was it. Milo thinks he's Mick Jagger. I remember, just as a little side thing, this entire fucking podcast is a side thing. But I think we were at Freedom Weekend or something. And he's like, hi, darling, how are you? Hold on a second, darling. I've even been alone with him in a hotel room, just me and him in a hotel room. And he's still like, sorry, darling, sorry, I have to get ready. He's putting on like pearl earrings and storming from like the bathroom to the dressing room and putting on, like, he's always sort of being chased by the paparazzi, even though they're not there. I'm running around. I forget what this was for. Oh, this was for the art show where he was in a bathtub full of pig's blood. And I made a bunch of pictures where I was like in chains and I was dressed as a woman saying, holding a sign that said rape. And I forget what my other picture was, but it was just a parody of you know, the left. And Martin Shkreli was there. He had a pill that was in a giant case, a very expensive pill. It was a fun little art show that we had in the West Village back when winning was everything. Winning's still everything, but God, it was less... It was less plagued by the mentally ill back then. Now you're worried about, you know, people fucking screaming at you at baseball games. I told you about that the other day. There's the freaks have come out at night, and now we're dealing with zombies roaming the streets going, bruh! Back then, the zombies only came out in the dark. Now the zombies are everywhere. Anyway, it was Freedom Weekend, and he's running around, and he's like, hi, darling, come upstairs. And he's got his entourage and his security, and... The thing about a conservative event is it's sort of like being a celebrity at the Academy Awards. Like, you don't have to worry about selfies or people bothering you because everyone there. Like, when we were there at that bar, there was at the Freedom Weekend where he said, come on, darling, let's go up to my room. There was like James Damore, Dave Rubin, Cassandra Fairbanks, Laura Loomer, Jack Posobiec, Mike Cernovich, like all the right wing dudes. And I'd rather hang out with them than run up to your room. What are we doing at your room? So we go up to his room, and he puts on a smoking jacket, like a silk smoking jacket. And there's like 15 people there, by the way. And then he says, I have to write my column, darling. And I'm sitting there going, all right, well, I don't want to sit here while you write your column. Just like Justin in L.A., where I'm like, can we go to a dive bar, please, and just hang? And there's so many, like, I really wanted to talk to James Damore, who, by the way, is kind of dull. And his fucking nose. This is the Google guy who said that it's possible that women aren't naturally predisposed for programming. His nose is Toucan-esque. He could live in the... If he painted himself several different colors, he could live in the Amazonian jungle with wings and no one would notice him. His nose is bigger than his body. Kind of dull guy, pretty cool guy though. Very intelligent, obviously. And so I go, I want to go back downstairs and talk to like fucking Malcolm Gladwell or whatever his name is. It wasn't Malcolm Gladwell. And he goes, all right, Dolly, I'll come with you. I'll come back downstairs. And but you just put on a smoking, like a robe. All right. So he's got slippers and a robe on. And then, so we go back down to the bar, and then his bodyguard shows up from some previous gig, and he's like, oh, darling, I haven't seen you in so long. And then they sit and talk for a while. It's just like, that's too much. Anyway, for the Pulse nightclub thing, I meet him in Oakland. Hi, darling, come up to my hotel. So I go there, and there's a bunch of, like, millennial, what do they call them, twinks, sitting on the bed. I don't mean in a sexual way, just, like, typing away and doing stuff. It's like, what do you have to drink? We're having Dom Perignon. You like champagne? No, fuck. I hate champagne. Champagne is fizzy piss that goes up your nose like Alka-Seltzer. Get it out of my face. I don't like seeing people drink champagne. Well, what are you having then? And I go, I just, give me a Maker's Mark, I guess. All right, rocks? Yes. So a little bit of time goes by. He buys like 4 bottles of Dom Perignon. And all these millennials are drinking them. I suspect the kids don't like it either. And my Maker's Mark arrives. It is 4 Maker's Mark glasses that are both doubles and then a bucket of ice on a tray. That's a lot of fucking, that's eight Maker's Marks. That's, I think, half a bottle. I don't know the exact math, but I can't, half a bottle and I am fucking toasted. So we get down to the site of the shooting, and I gotta admit, I'm kind of scared. We're going there to taunt Islam, and we're going to be gaylords at the site where about, I think, 84 homosexuals were just massacred outside a gay nightclub. So we go there. He does a great speech. His speeches are always very good. It's fucking hot as shit. And then I do my speech, which sucks because I'm drunk. I should never drink before a speech. And then I end it with fuck Islam, and then Milo and I make out, which was absolutely wonderful. It was fireworks everywhere. And then I noticed after, so then we went back. I can't remember what we did that night. You know, we wrapped it up and got back in the fucking airport, whatever. But after that, and by the way, no coverage from the LGBTQ community. Here we are defending you, risking our lives, and we had serious bodyguards. Like, we had to look at all the rooftops and stuff and make sure there was no snipers because we'd announced it in advance. So we got armed guards watching us, this guy. You wouldn't believe the fucking money these guys make in Florida. It sucks. These guys are there. They're fully armed, and some of them are making, like, $10 to $20 an hour. Our guys were well paid, but I was talking to the guy for a while, and it was shocking some of the money he gets offered, like how terrible it is. I'll offer you $100. Or, actually, this was part of what he said the problem with Pulse Nightclub was. The money they were offering was so fucking shitty. You have a concealed carry permit, which I guess is pretty common in Florida. Like in New York, it's the rarest thing in the world, so you make much better money. But they're like, you need a concealed carry permit, bring your own gun, and we'll pay you $100 for the night, and maybe you'll make some money in tips. No. So the security sucked because, and I guess I'm inadvertently blaming the club here for the massacre, saying you should have spent more money on security. So we had all those guys, you know, watching, ready to shoot, ready to destroy. And we did all that, and I think it was brave. Sorry, but I'm pretty proud of that event. It's funny, conservatives, like traditional conservatives, go, you made out with a dude? What did your wife think? Yeah, I was really making out with him. We were really in a passionate embrace. My poor wife was tossing and turning all night, the time I had an affair. Wake the fuck up, dummy. But I noticed after that, these gay dudes would make out in the comfort of their own living room, and they'd kiss each other, and they said they had some hashtag like love, you can't stop love, or we still love each other. I'm like, you're fucking gay. You're making out with your boyfriend that you love in your own living room, and you're taking a picture of it that goes out to all your friends. That has got to be one of the least brave things in the history of bravery. You are officially at the bottom of the brave totem pole. Anyway, I was talking to Milo today, and I said, when you were talking about those death squads, before I knew it was a private message, I still thought it was funny. I mean, that's the thing about all this civility. Fuck civility. They've been talking about us. Remember die cis scum? Cis meaning you identify with the gender you were born with. So they've been saying, die us, die that, and we're fucking losers, and smash the patriarchy, and kill all white men, and all white men are rapists, and blah, blah, blah. They've been talking like this forever, so I'm not going to parse my words anymore. So when Milo says, go and fucking kill the journalists, I can get the irony, and I can get the context, and I don't start blaming him for every death. I don't think we need to guard our words more. I think we need to double down. Like Austin Peterson said, he said, instead of sitting here and negotiating bump stocks, you should be negotiating for machine guns in Manhattan. I want an AK-47 in Manhattan to be able to wear it around my neck. That's what we should be doing, taking the fight to them. Because when you sit there and you negotiate the terms of your demise, like, please, may I have a bump stock? Okay, I'll give away a bump. That's all negotiating your own death. Please, can you not kill me in front of my kids? Can you just kill me in a grassy knoll? Maybe on the edge of a cliff, like the Grand Canyon, after Chevy Chase has a look at it. Maybe I could just be killed there and just disappear. Promise to be kind. Fuck that. Take the fight to them. No more civility. No more negotiations. No more taking the high road. Take the low road. Be a dirty cocksucker. It's like street fighting. You don't sit there with your dukes up. You bite his ear off. You kick him in the balls. He smashed his head against the concrete. Why are we being so nice about everything? I'm done with that shit. And he told me that Ann Coulter had messaged him and said, great line, good stuff. And of course now, after all these journalists have said, you're the reason there was that shooting, he's suing them all. And I think that's healthy too. These fuckers need repercussions. You know, they've admitted that they aren't looking for a I was going to say a civil war. Civil, comma, war. They aren't looking for a fair war. They are looking for total destruction. And they lie about it, too. Like they say, we want open borders because we're a nation of immigrants. And we just want to be able for families to be able to hold their babies and kiss them on their little soft, soft spot and tell their little, Jose, I love you, Jose. And then we hear later, they go, actually, if we stopped immigration, it would be electoral suicide. Meaning, we just want them for votes. We don't give a fuck if they live or die. That's why Obama sent those guns down in Fast and Furious. He sent guns to Mexico without serial numbers. So there'd be murder and mayhem, and guns would look bad. This is all well documented in Katie Pavlich's book, Fast and Furious. So we know you don't really care. And then the other lie they do is, we just want fair gun control. I actually, I'm an ex-military person, and I actually advocate the Second Amendment. I just think we don't need a Uzi. And then later they go, yeah, I actually was lying. I just want to get rid of all your guns. All right, so now you're a liar. You're like a junkie. You ever live with a junkie? And they go, yeah, man, hey, I'm not sure what happened to your CDs. There was a guy over here earlier that was looking kind of scared. No, you stole my CDs, dude. So now I'm stealing your shit. Party's over. I'm not listening to the junkies anymore. And that's what the left have become, a bunch of fucking lying junkies. Anyway, I'm sorry to get so heavy on this podcast, but I've had a very political day, okay? I guess I should give a shout-out to WeThePeopleHolsters.com. We the People Holsters make customized holster holders. You can change the cant on the and the ride on them. You can customize. They'll pay for the design. They go for about $34. If you put in the promo code Gavin, then they go down to $24. And I've been talking to people in the chubby community, like myself, and they say that these holsters are particularly comfortable because they're so adjustable. And they also have a hard shell on the outside. It's this new technology, polymer technology, where you sort of cook it and you can shape it exactly to your body and your gun. I'm getting my concealed carry permit, by the way, very soon. I just finished the class. I just have to send in the paperwork. And in the suburbs of New York, it's actually quite easy. And I've already got my gun, 380 bodyguard. I'm going to have a bigger one for home protection. I'm going to have a big fucking Clint Eastwood beast that blows their head off. Not just because I want to blow their head off, but also I don't want it to go through the walls and hurt my kids. So I'm going to have some sort of shell that explodes on impact and stops in the thief. Which is funny too, by the way, with all this talk of like Maxine Waters saying go to their homes and, you know, shame them in public. That works when Sarah Huckabee Sanders is going out for a chicken sandwich with her dad, or when Tommy Lauren is going to get some mozzarella sticks with her mom. But you're eventually going to come across someone like me who is armed and isn't going to politely leave. That's the problem with the left. And they did this at one of Milo's talks, by the way. I think it was in Seattle. I'm not positive. But there's a story that there was a shooting at one of his talks. Yes, that's true. But it wasn't some nut bar right winger. It was just like, yeehaw, I'm going to shoot all the Antifa. There was some Antifa alt-left nut who was smashing people in the head in the lineup one by one. Bonk, 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 bonk. Eventually, they got to a guy who says, no, no bonk. He shot the guy. And Milo's intelligent enough to have everything on camera. So that's going to come out soon. But that's what's going to happen to the left. They're going to keep antagonizing people, and eventually they're going to come across someone with a WeThePeopleHolsters.com holster, and they're going to say, no, you're not attacking me. And that's the funny thing about this recent sort of civil war that's going on is it's a bunch of eight-year-olds picking a fight with a bunch of grown-ups. It's a bunch of unarmed people who have never been in a fight declaring war on these Trump supporters, insisting that they're all Nazis. And the people that they're talking about are not Nazis, but they are brawlers and they are prepared to fight. And the left hasn't really been in a fight. So it's a ridiculous challenge. It's basically, I did a documentary about it on YouTube you can watch. It's called How to Fight a Baby. And it's got about 14 million views now, 13 million. And I think it clearly explains where this civil war is headed. Thank you for tuning in. I like you more than a friend. I'll see you on Monday. And please, we are not taking a time out for July 4th for Independence Day weekend. We have an Independence Day show. It's a very fun show. We got Stephanie Hamill. We got Eddie Scarry. We have from the Washington Examiner. We have Derek Hunter, who just did a great book. I think it's called Outrage, about how the left is destroying America and Hollywood and science. And then we have Kurt Schiller, the baseball legend, who will be talking about not just political correctness and how it affected his career, but also baseball and how it's changed since the days of nails and the Mets in the 80s and the cocaine and the partying, and how it's become more family friendly and which was better. I'm looking at the levels now and this fucking show looks real quiet. Hope you got high quality headphones. Go to CRTV.com right now and sign up for Get Off My Lawn and CRTV Tonight with Gavin McInnes. Bye.